CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
Quack! 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 Quack!
That is enough. That's just enough. You really think that's funny, don't you? Quack, quack, quack. Sure is clever. Takes a lot of brains to go quack, 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 and it's not about a quack.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're really proud, aren't you?
Thank you very much.
You're proud of yourself.
I'm quacking and showing how the box is going to...
I hope you're really proud. You know what you've done?
What?
You've ruined the song. You've ruined the show. You've made yourself a stupid fool, you've embarrassed me thoroughly, and you've proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're fully, thoroughly incapable of ever doing anything rational. All your life, you've never done anything right, and you never will, because you can't. You've tried to do things wrong. It just shows in your warped personality. I'm just ashamed to call you my brother, because you just never, never in your entire life have done anything good and worthwhile. You never will do anything worthwhile, because you can't. Don't judge me, Thomas Mother. Chuck, we just stand there and take it. You try to be a man once in your life. You wanted to quack, start quacking. I'll stand in the back and wait for you.
Quack! 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 Quack!
Hey, Ricky, I kind of like it.
My sound man is getting is going to get a trophy thrown at him already. And this is the first show of the year, and I am absolutely floored that he found this routine. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a new year, but there are some classics that just can't go away. Welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman. So allow me to introduce the man who just brought you that few minutes of nonsense and almost made me bust out laughing in the middle of the intro, Mr. Jim Williams. Thank you so much for finding that.
You don't know how hard that was to find, first of all, but I found it eventually. It was all good. Hey, Happy New Year, everybody. I just wanted to mention, I have something for you. It's signed You're Not a Wrestling Fan, number 567. It goes as follows, and I learned this from my friend Kayla, who watched Raw with me not too long ago. Here's how you know she's not a wrestling fan. When Dolph Ziggler comes out, accompanied by Vicky Guerrero, and she turns to me and says, "Jim, is that his mom accompanying him to the ring?" That's how you know you're dealing with someone who is not a wrestling fan, but she is a My Little Pony crocheter, so it's all good.
And let's see. Ah, yes. Somebody who has also earned a spot on the show tonight just because he has some breaking news for us. VRM, what do you got?
Yes, as if the MMA news wasn't already rocked from last week, we find out tonight that the baddest woman on the planet had some little helpers, specifically one very well-known one, Stanazolol. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. Which, if you don't know that, is a testosterone-based steroid.
Oh, boy.
Christiane Cyborg Santos. Tested positive for was I pronouncing it correctly?
I believe so.
Stanazolol.
Triple word score, yeah.
Yeah, she has been stripped of the Strikeforce women's title. And she has been suspended by California State Athletic Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And I think unofficially has now lost her title as the best pound-for-pound women's fighter.
Well, at least we know why. And as I will come all the way around to our number four, who will not clutter the show with 6 minutes of awkward silence, fourth.
I will say this New Year's, any pot shots or dig at me from one particular person will be just like one particular commentator is to millions of fans. Ignored. That's my resolution for this year.
Attaboy.
Well done.
So, sadly, this was I was expecting this to be a much heavier news week. And I'm going to start by just touching on something we actually managed to get our hands on late in last week's show, and that was the whole explosion about Lesnar. Lesnar has abruptly announced his retirement after a crippling loss to Overeem, and somebody got a lovely, short, drunken interview with Dana White, said, sure, let him go to WWE. But VRM, obviously we're not going to see him right away, or at least, you know, we thought we were going to see him right away. Now that you have a week to think about this, what do you see in this one?
Yeah, well, I think that first things first is he's going to take the time off to heal because that kick had to have broken a rib. The fact that he's been that he got handed a 6-month suspension from fighting, which is more of like a paper suspension, but the fact that he got a 6-month suspension says that this is kind of a pretty serious injury. Of course, he's not the only one that had a six-month suspension. We'll probably get to those a little later, but the fact that the reason he quit, he retired, is because it was a promise to his wife and family that if he won, he would have one more match against Dos Santos for the title. If he lost, this would be his last match. So, that's a family thing. I don't think we can expect him to see Lesnar anytime recently because he's also got to have his contract negotiated out. He's got to get everything cleared medically, and everyone keeps talking that it might not even be possible for him to get back in because of his condition that he might not pass wellness, which guys are passing wellness with fused necks. So,
and it's you know. I know it's still very touch and go, and I know Vince would love to have him, and personally, I wouldn't mind seeing him back in the ring. Unfortunately, I hate to say it, I might end up being a little disappointed after remembering the monster that we got to see. 2002, 2003, 2004. I want that Lesnar back, and I don't think we can get that Lesnar back, can we, Forrest?
I don't think so. Again, his health would definitely be an issue that he probably wouldn't be able to be there consistently. I could at least see him getting a one-off WrestleMania match to kind of almost erase the disaster that was WrestleMania 20, but it does not look likely that he'd have a full-time return.
Well, bringing up WrestleMania 20, someone else was dissatisfied with his performance in said match, and if Lesnar returns, Bill might return.
Now that's interesting. What's your source on this? Because
That was on WrestleChat. I forget what page it was on.
Okay, I've already fought with my computer once tonight. I'm not going to look it up. So anybody,
I will fight. Here it is. It's on page one.
Okay. Shameless plug, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead, VRM.
Yes.
Let's see. Apparently, he wrote earlier today that despite his displeasure for WWE and Vince over the years, he said he'd be interested in a bout and wrote on Friday, quote, ... I'd do it.
I would be very interested in the rematch as long as Stone Cold Steve Austin is not involved.
Yeah.
And that's not my personal bias, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. That's for the fact that he overshadowed both of them.
Which even despite the circumstances, should not have happened. I understand why it happened, but it shouldn't have gone down that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
but
the...
Who do you blame there?
This all started from a tweet that JR had, where he said Goldberg versus Lesnar at 29 would be miraculous, i.e., highly unlikely.
Mm-hmm. And JR, coming back to the table is also sounding incredibly unlikely, and that's right out of the Barbecue Man's Twitter. He is. I didn't read the actual tweets, but it's my understanding that he has actually confirmed that WWE actually likes what Hambone's up to.
Fun times.
And, you know, I just think Hambone just adds about this much to the show.
Ah!
But that's just me. Or is it?
No. I have a Flocati rug on my head and agree with you. Yes.
Okay. Now that we've got a couple people clamoring to get back in the door, we've also got WWE taking a peek down south. They seem to be wanting to start cherry picking from TNA the way they cherry picked from Ring of Honor earlier. WrestleChat actually posted a short list of about, oh, I'd say 7 or 8 guys from TNA that they wouldn't mind having in their fold, or shall I say, back in their fold. And a couple of names popped up that really surprised me. RVD, of course, is, you know, somebody who could hop over at any time as long as he can pass and follow wellness.
That's me.
There's actually renewed talk within WWE about getting the Dudleys back. My guess on this one is just the fact that both of those boys got themselves back in shape. While round is a shape, it's not the shape that WWE likes.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, I can definitely see why they would go with Bully Ray. He is one of the bright spots as a heel in TNA currently.
Mm-hmm. He's a very good heel. He's a fun heel. He's a dirty heel. And I personally think he could have gotten a lot further, even though, you know, he just had horrible timing at his title shot time, which was during the long reviled Reign of Terror, great big quotes, during the reign of the evil Dr. Levesque. But I'll tell you what, the two promos that Bubba cut leading up to that match told me he belonged there. Between "this is not the Triple H show" and "this table is reserved" are two of the best promos I've heard out of Bubba in a long, long time. Who else has seen this list? Anybody had, you know, seen some names that surprised them?
Not really surprised. I mean, Beer Money's there, but then again, what was it? I know Beer Money was on there, but then again, they've pretty much always been on there. But then again, but now I think they said they were holding off depending on to see how they work out as singles wrestlers, since WWE is no go for tag teams.
Which is interesting, because they seemed to be pretty gung-ho about tag teams previously, or is it just the fact that since Beer Money got broke up and pushed, that WWE has backed off?
Mm-hmm.
There's on-and-off stuff about Matt Morgan. They're actually considering giving Shannon Moore another try down the road. They're not interested in Jesse Neal. I hate to say it, anybody who brags about food stamps on their Twitter probably, I don't know.
Yeah. Not likely.
So, they've got all that lined up, and the machine just keeps on turning. We've heard that some of the guys, you know, some of their developmental guys are hitting the road. A couple of familiar faces, Seth Rollins, a.k.a. Tyler Black. That thump you hear in the distance is Trista fainting dead away. The fact that Dean Ambrose, a.k.a. Jon Moxley, is on the road and is ready, according to WWE officials. They're just looking for a storyline for him. Somewhere I hear another body fall over, and that is my dear friend Chelsea, who is a female independent wrestler and also has crazy hots for Mox, just fell over. The third name that's come up, though, is a gentleman named Leo Kruger, who is apparently a homegrown in FCW and somebody who's apparently survived working under Steve Cairn, which is an accomplishment in itself, ladies and gentlemen. I'll throw this out there. Somebody has the book. Any ideas what you would do with these guys? I realize that you guys don't have a whole lot on any of these three.
I can't think of anything offhand.
Well, I'm looking for sadistic Roddy Piper style heel out of Mox when he finally comes up.
When in doubt, put them on NXT. That's what always works for WWE. Oh, wait a minute. Wild and Young. No.
No.
You know something sucks when only one of the winners was actually someone they gave a damn about. Everyone else, they lost the competition but got pushed anyway.
Yeah.
I just, you know, here, there it is, folks, the show that never ends. It just goes on and on and on, my friends.
Nobody's singing happily, though.
No. It's just a show that just, I haven't even bothered looking for it online.
Well, ditto.
But I'll tell you what, we had a lot of eyeballs on Raw this week.
Mm-hmm.
As everybody was thinking, okay, we're going to get a bunch of debuts. We're going to get a bunch of people to come back. And we're going to find out who exactly they were talking about with 1-2-12, even though the answer was already pretty much out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, the lights went out, the pyro went off. We saw the shiny, shiny jacket, and we hear the crowd.
It's a mark-out moment! A mark-out, bro!
Oh, my goodness.
Lord knows I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing you guys were, too, at least.
Oh, yeah.
I was a little bit, but I wish that he would have actually had an actual promo to follow it up.
Oh, here we go.
Now,
it's not like a full complaint, but it's just a preference.
Oh, no. I get you. It's just, you know, this was interesting just the way he did it. He went out there and hammed it up. Celebrated. But yeah. Went out there, hammed it up, celebrated like a face. Everybody was jumping up and down, Y2J chants, playing with the crowd, having some fun. But not saying a word. And after a few minutes of this, you start scratching your head. Like, well, you know, what are we doing here? And then some in the crowd, this would include casual fans, not fourth, and the number three is going, get on with it!
Yes, we call these people who don't get it. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. But yeah. At some point we realized that Jericho was just wasn't phoning it in, he was forcing it. As if he was just standing on the turnbuckles.
Going to love me!
Oh, my God.
The right, many years for Fluttershy.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, Jim.
No, you're not. No, you're not. That's the thing.
You're right, I'm not.
This show's infested by ponies! No, but what? And I talked with our esteemed executive producer and all around, Jericho-holic, Jason Block, and he pretty much said it was one of the best. Silence, less is more is pretty much what I got out of him. Less is more in this instance, and others have said it's the equivalent of Jericho's Twitter account being brought to real life. Where he pretty much does his impersonation of the troll face. And you know what? That's exactly what it was. Entertaining.
And it was the troll face. Now, if you watched it once, and you had the mark, and then you slowly going to the heel booing. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, we all do that when we watch something first time through live or quote unquote live in terms of SmackDown and the very few of us that actually watch Impact, which I am no longer one of them. Yeah, you get the emotions, you get the raw emotions, but then you go to YouTube and you watch it again and again, and now you can start seeing it more objectively. And you can see it as he's walking back, just before he turns to go back into the Titantron. You look at his face, and it's crystal clear right there. It's like, I have got each and every one of you by the waistband, and you are going to follow every single thing I do, and you are going to love it whether you cheer or boo. I have each and every one of you right where I want you.
Exactly. Exactly.
And when that sinks in, it's magic. Damn you, Jericho. And I say this with the biggest smile on my face. Damn you, Jericho. It's something that's just too smart for the number threes. It's just something that a couple of casual fans are going to be scratching their heads about, saying, but we wanted you to come back. Why are you doing this? And to top all this off, the ads they ran during SmackDown for next week's Raw were all Jericho. And essentially, what is he going to do next? In other words, he did his job perfectly.
Yes.
So, this is just huge kudos to the man. He didn't bother to stop for the interview. He essentially trolled an entire audience. I wish I could have been backstage just to see what the workers were doing. I would love to hear a few short opinions on this.
They were probably laughing their freaking asses off.
Wishing that they could do the same thing.
Exactly. Envious.
And some of it has been summed up in some of the forum signatures that I've seen. One in particular on the fan boards says, and I quote, "You were stopped and dropped by the walls of Jericho-troll."
Yes. Very much. Very much. Somebody has pasted the troll face over the smiling Jericho face. You know, problem WWE Universe. Problem IWC.
You mad?
Yeah, you mad?
Exactly.
What did you
think, and why or why not? Yes.
Yeah. And that should be followed by a goofy Cena picture going, I ain't even mad.
The same eight notes. Yes.
Although, speaking of our resident superhero.
Oh, yes.
His daring rescue at the end of Raw this past Monday night. I'm sorry, I started laughing.
You have to cue the music. You have to cue the music for that, because that was epic. That was indeed, Herculean.
That was indeed very, very epic. And where is that button? It is still here. Yes, it is.
The with only three moves, yes.
No, he one of the most in one of the most amazing rescues. He saved the Long Island IC from being buried. Wait,
he's done that. Long Island IC knows what it's like being buried, so this was nothing to him. Yeah,
but this was damn literal, and he was freaking out.
The best part is on Ryder's Twitter, he actually asked if you almost went to hell.
We almost didn't have a Z True Long Island story. I'm sorry, Chia Pena doesn't do the job. I'm sorry.
So you've seen Chia Pena's version.
It is. I see what he's going with. Mm-hmm. I assume you've seen it too, Nikki.
I haven't seen it. I'm kind of scratching my head at the concept.
The concept is this: Chia Pettit pretty much trying to be like Zack Ryder, only geekier, if you will, nerdier, dorkier.
Oh, okay.
And it's he's forced, which can be funny. I mean, the biggest highlight I got was 30 seconds in the ozone, and Zack's mom getting a cameo kissing Chia Pettit, which is kind of creepy.
Yeah, that's a little odd.
Yes. And no, Zack's mom is not. No, I'm not going to say it. No.
No.
Then Zack's dad will kick my ass, and then.
And then I would have to run. I will run you over with all sorts of sound effects.
No!
I only have to hit you with one, and I promise I won't do that right now. Okay.
But you go before the end of this, I have a feeling.
At some point, yes. Let's see. Jason just threw a link at me, and it's regarding Jericho, going back to him for just a moment.
Sure.
WrestleChat.net had a quick write-up on what the plan is for Jericho, since he's not going to tell us.
Of course not.
But his return... here we go. People backstage were noting the similarities to John Laurinaitis' dynamic dudes character from Days Gone By.
What, with like the look and the jacket and everything? And
mostly, yeah. Now,
at least he could have gotten somebody to get the lights to properly work on his damn jacket. But anyway.
That's fine. It's fine. The next part is going to set off the internet, which if it hasn't already.
That's floating.
Most expect Jericho to begin feuding with CM Punk. Leading
internet
up,
go down the hole.
Internet go boom. Internet go boom. I'm surprised we are still up. But yes, it's one of those things that if this better be a dedicated rumor, because I can already hear the IWC.
Please, please do it! Please!
I'm sorry. I think Chris Jericho and CM Punk 20 minutes in a ring, and they'll call it in the ring.
Now, as long as they don't pull the trigger on that feud earlier, like they did with the Jericho Orton feud when he came back last time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, trust me. I was at Armageddon 07, and when JBL jumped in the ring and broke up the submission, I was not a happy camper.
No.
I was not a happy camper. They ruined a perfectly good return.
Not a happy pony.
So the other thought was, let's see, Jericho would also go into a major program after WrestleMania that would lead up into SummerSlam. Options include John Cena, Randy Orton, and even Daniel Bryan. And once again, the internet is drooling.
Of course they're drooling over John Cena. Oh, wait a minute.
No.
No.
Not John Cena at all.
Some of us do have standards.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I don't really want to see the Cena match. They've had good matches, but it's something that's been done almost to death.
And I almost, you know, right now the whole Randy Orton thing is on hold because I'm still trying to find out, is the back injury legit? Because I've got this nagging feeling.
That you might be seeing him say at the Rumble as a surprise number 30, perhaps?
Oh. Oh,
okay.
I will get my money back.
I didn't. All right. It was surprising with Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Edge wasn't number 30.
No, but he was late. He was late in the Rumble, and I understand why they did that. That was still pretty sweet.
Yeah, but yeah, the surprise return from injury storyline, it's getting a little stale.
If they are going to do that, they basically gave it away tonight on SmackDown when Barrett said something like, "You won't expect Orton to appear in the Rumble in his hometown," or whatever he said.
And let me look that up in the dictionary of Nikki Haman. That means, now we know he's here. That means that he's going to show up at the Rumble, and that's one thing I would rather not see. Maybe, you know, I'm not saying it because it's Randy Orton, but I'm kind of going on VRM's vibe. Return from injury, we did it in 2010, we did it in 2008. I realize there's a pattern, but please, no. Lordy.
Oh, is that the person who's going to send the card into Menthols to Orton in St. Louis? Oh, no, it's the GM, I'm sorry.
No. Let's see what he's got here. And
our GMs lasted longer than the anonymous GM. You realize this, right, folks? It's crazy.
Well, that's because John Laurinaitis doesn't like sharing authority with anyone. And I quote, "It's disappointing that JR doesn't have any real chance of coming back to WWE because the look he was sporting at the Oklahoma game, he looked like a badass."
Yes. Get it on your mind right there, yeah.
Yes, thank you, League Pass free preview, that I could get to see that without having to wait till YouTube.
Yes.
There's a pre-built character into that could just open up with him showing up, punching out Michael Cole's lights, and then not taking any crap from Lawler. We should be so lucky. Unfortunately, JR may be correct about WWE liking what Hambone is up to, so I'm not going to bring the mood down of the show any further. So, gentlemen, take a moment, take a drink. We're going to sell some soap. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Soap? We have soap here? Wow.
Something like that. Just take a deep breath.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on the CLW 83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at. Williamsware is now a part of the CLW 83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW 83 Network merchandise. Go to williamsware.clw83.com. Click the CLW 83 Wear button and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW 83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamsware.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in and shop right now.
Exclusive interviews and thought-provoking discussion on pop culture and reality TV. Listen live every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, to Pop to Reality, where pop culture meets reality TV. Hosted by Jeff Weiss and Mark Roberts. Pop to Reality on Blog Talk Radio.
This is Ethan Muslin, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
I'll take entertaining answers for 800.
And now back to the regular portions of the show, and this is how slow a news week it is, guys. I'm going to actually have to talk some TNA.
No!
Oh! 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 I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
He's going to puke!
VRM, if you want to save me. You've probably got another little piece of MMA news, something about
yes.
The fact that not only did we have Cyborg with the steroids issue and Lesnar, how about some crossover story?
Yes, we have a crossover story coming up in a couple weeks on UFC on Fox, because Chael Sonnen has got himself the best in the world to be part of his entourage for his entrance. CM Punk will be part of the entourage escorting Chael Sonnen to the ring for UFC on Fox 2.
So will he be wearing a trench coat and carrying a fake Tommy gun? I'm sorry.
I suspect that or somebody yell it's clobbering time.
I swear to God, somebody's got to yell that at that show. And if they don't, shame on them.
You know, the only thing that will make it the best thing about it is if Chael Sonnen decides to use Cult of Personality for his entrance music.
Oh, man.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the sports equivalent of Double Geek.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. I'm wondering, though, I mean, according to WrestleChat as well, there is plenty of negative feedback to this. From those who are hardcore MMA fans, well, I guess that's to be expected. Let me beg the question, does CM Punk coming out with an MMA fighter, does that devalue potentially the fight or the fighter, do you think? And so to the casual fan, I'll put you that way.
To the casual fan, it might. Something that WWE has kind of downplayed of late is CM Punk's background. You realize that he could have just as easily worked his way over to MMA, that his a lot of his basic striking offense is based on Muay Thai.
That's true.
He should fit right in with the MMA guys. He's got, you know, he's got the really short hair, he's got tons of tattoos, he's got a piercing, he can do the really hard kicks, he's a submissions expert. What's the problem?
So I'm just playing worst-case scenario among those who are, you know, the line being blurred between professional wrestling and mixed martial arts, and that line is kind of edging ever closer. The line, side A and side B, they're merging closer than one might think, with the Lesnar news that he's probably going to come back to WWE, and now this.
Right.
Right, well, before anybody gets their hopes up and think that this is the start of actual crossover stuff between... crossover talks between Dana and Vince. Neither WWE or UFC had anything to do with this. This was Chael Sonnen going personally to Punk to ask mm-hmm. him to walk with him.
Which is cool.
I'm just a little surprised that, you know, Vince didn't chime in on it or, you know, Dana had anything to say about it. But I really think the Lesnar thing, you know, we joke about the fact that those two got together for coffee and they just talked about sports. And if Dana had popped the question, hey, can I borrow a couple of your wrestlers, you know, a couple of your boys to come over and second some of my guys at a show?
Oh, hell no!
I had a feeling, yeah.
You know,
it's great exposure. They're getting millions of people to watch Fox, something that WWE couldn't do with NBC in recent viewings, just saying.
Now, I... Actually, no, I don't really have anything on that. And I'm hoping, you know, Well, then again, now that they've got an even bigger powerhouse behind them under NBC Universal and Comcast as one big mega conglomerate, God
cable,
help us.
What the heck was it called? An On 30 Rock Cable Land or Cable something or other?
I couldn't tell you.
Not big on that show either, but
yeah. Yeah, more on more from UFC. The suspensions came out for UFC 141, and like we said, some of them are 6 months. We've already talked about Lesnar's 6-month suspension. A couple others, Nate Diaz, unless he gets cleared by an ophthalmologist, he's suspended until June 28th. Plus a minimum suspension until the end of January for the right eye injury. Vladimir Matyushenko, suspended to June 28th unless he gets his left knee cleared by an orthopedist. He's got a minimum suspension until the 14th of February. John Fitch, the standard 60-day suspension for a knockout. Same with Diego Nunes. That's not 60 days. The other 6 months is Manny Gamburian, who needs to get his, unless he gets his right shoulder x-rayed and cleared by an orthopedist, he's got a minimum suspension until the end of January as well.
Okay. So, Overeem actually got suspended for literally kicking Lesnar out of UFC.
Well, because Brock did get in one shot that cut him over his right eye.
Okay. Interesting. I just, you know, that kind of surprises me, so.
Yeah, so he gets himself a 45-day with no contact prior to January 30th.
Okay. So, yeah, that's good. So I'm sure Dana did need a freaking drink after that paper, after that show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, question is what will be the drink be next Saturday after the inaugural show in Rio de Janeiro?
Mm.
Depends. How many did he at least book more than one match for the show?
Yes, there are five matches on the main card for 142 because it's a full pay per view.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's every match has at least one Brazilian fighting.
Yes. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to get out of there alive. Which, in and of itself, knowing from friends who have been down that way, it's tough to get out of that city alive. Period. So there you go.
Yeah. The main event for UFC 142, of course, Jose Aldo versus Chad Mendes for the featherweight title.
Okay.
Other big names on the card: Vitor Belfort versus Anthony Johnson. Husamir Palhares versus Mike Mesencio, Eric Silva versus Carlo Prater, one of the three Brazil on Brazil fights, and Edson Barboza versus Terry Edim. Those are the main card matches.
Mm-hmm.
The only two names that really stand out on the preliminary card is Thiago Tavares versus Sam Stout and Gabriel Gonzaga versus Ednaldo Oliveira.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's see. Oh, good try, VRM, but unfortunately we still have about 15 minutes left.
We do have a DVD for the, because they released the track list for what's going to be on the year in review DVD for Raw and SmackDown.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Watch this filibuster, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway.
Let's see. We've got, well, of course, we had the Rock and Cena interactions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We had Eddie's goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
We had the atrocity of May 6th, the week after Extreme Rules. We have the work shoot.
Cool.
That is in there. June 27th.
The whole first promo from Vegas?
I don't know if it's the whole first promo, but it is listed as CM Punk speaks his mind.
It's probably going to be the whole promo.
I would hope.
I would hope so, too. If they got that
so,
one...
So wait, no. Michael Cole, Jerry Lawler? Oh, no. I'm depressed.
I'm also hoping they have the one 2 weeks later, which I just recently pulled off my DVR, which was Punk's contract negotiation.
No, they do not have that one. They go from that one, they go to Christian Sin Cara, and then the end of the July 18th Raw where Trips comes out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No, they. I wish they had put the July 11th contract negotiations on there.
Yeah. So disc 3 starts out with July 25th.
Okay.
Let's see what other major ones. Not some Mark Henry fun.
Well, actually,
I'm more going to get the lunch stolen.
Well. Despite the sexual chocolate chance he's been getting the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Love it.
Ooh, that's something we haven't talked. That's something that we haven't talked about. Daniel Bryan and his
Yes.
You're right. And that is the one piece of SmackDown that I did pay attention to. Now, a couple weeks ago, I honestly thought Big Show was going to be the one who was going to turn just because he would have a legitimate beef. He thought him and Bryan were tight, and he pulls this after Daniel Bryan's been bragging that he was going to drop it at WrestleMania, and of course Michael Cole's shitting all over this. Oops, I said his name. Oh well. Turns out that Mr. Bryan might be our heel, judging from some of his actions on SmackDown tonight. And am I the only one who saw it?
I saw the very, very tail end where he intentionally provoking Mark Henry to hit him.
Which drew the disqualification to make sure that he retained the belt. That's not very heroic. That's not a very face-ish move. Or was it just the fact that Bryan needed to get out of there because his mouth was pretty bloodied up?
It definitely felt like that was the plan.
Well, the way he was celebrating afterwards...
Mm-hmm. It was right up there with Jericho's antics from Monday.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Nikki, going back to the DVD set, according to the listings, the negotiation you were talking about,
yes.
That's on the Blu-ray as an extra.
Okay. Damn it, I've got to get my PS3 fixed. Either that or I just need to find somebody to get me a backward-compatible Blu-ray-enabled PS3. My birthday's in 3 months.
Busy. Yes.
Sorry, that's sledgehammer to the nog.
Yes, no. Yeah, Block, come on, step up your game. No.
No, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be nice to Jason. I could say something right now about his weekend plans, but I'm not going to say it.
Well, if it's anything like him dressing up as an elf, it's. He's going to kill me anyway, I don't care.
I'll explain later.
Okay.
I'll explain later because I'm going to be nice. Okay. Now, anything else before I pull out these two bits?
Let's get to it. Let's just get to it.
I don't think we can stall anymore.
I don't want to talk about my man D. Bry at the top of my Fave 5. No, let's just get to it.
Just superhero.
Although, admittedly, guys, filibustering like this should have been saved for Jason Block's show, Red State, Blue State, Shameless Plug.
There you go.
Which will be coming to an internet site near you.
Is that the first episode's available at CLW83.com right now, so give it a listen.
Thank you, Jim. Now,
you're welcome.
I promise that this will not be painful. Actually, this is another rare thing that I'm actually going to say good for TNA.
All right, what do you got?
TNA rearranged their January TV taping schedules along with just to set up their first international TV tapings at the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be doing their first Impact from London. They're going to do most of their taping. They've got tapings next week on the 9th and 10th, again on the 16th and the 17th. Let's see if I've got all this down. January 9th and 10th, and the house show tour on the 12th through the 14th before they return to Orlando for tapings on the 16th and the 17th. They have a two-week European tour, but they will have January 28th is penciled in for London. I'm not sure where they'll be operating out of, but I guarantee you ain't going to be Wembley Stadium.
A little tough with the EPL going on, too, so...
Yeah.
But I'm impressed that they're giving this a try. Maybe they've freed up some money now that they've gotten a couple other people off camera, Hogan, Bischoff.
Oh, no names, yeah.
But that's a wonderful step forward. Unfortunately, they're not giving me any reason to step and to take a look at it because they took another step back by stealing another play out of WWE's book by using some good old fashioned nepotism.
Ah, yes, fun times.
The worst part.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the worst part about it was the segment with Sting last night.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, basically, Garrett, he's putting on his referee shirt. Sting is saying, well, this thing's like, ah, you shouldn't wear this. And he actually hands Garrett a pair of wrestling boots. Exactly.
I died inside.
Yeah, well, that's still not the worst of it, because, of course, as we all know from last month with Final Resolution, Jeff Hardy is back in the damn title picture.
Main event of Genesis, yeah.
They,
you don't think, do you?
I don't think what?
That they might pull the trigger and pull a fast one on Mr. Root again, do you?
Well, duh.
I know better than to talk to the leader of the pony pack. No.
It's very simple. Now that he's back, and now that he's out of jail, and now that he's out of rehab, give him the belt, quick!
Everything will be perfect.
Somehow, I understand people need a second chance, but I'd like to ask TNA, do you think this is just a little bit early?
What, one thing, you say second chance, isn't this like isn't a 148?
Like and the fact that there's a chance at that high of a level, I do have a little bit of a problem with that.
Bullshit!
Ah, yes. The bullshit singers strike again.
I'm sorry, just Jeff Hardy is reaching Scott Hall levels of second chances.
That, you know what? I don't want to laugh at that because it's actually pretty accurate, I hate to say.
And I just, I don't get it. I really, really do not get it. They've got talent there. They've got people there that can carry that company. Just nobody has the confidence with the guys that have been there since day one.
That's I think, the great problem. They're going, and it's been their problem for years, they're relying on the old the old steadfast. They're not relying on the people who've been there, like you said, from day one, the Samoa Joes, the AJ Styles of the world. I mean, yeah, they'll give them a little title run every now and again or a little push, but afterwards it's let's go back to names people know most. Jeff Hardy, because everybody loves Jeff Hardy. He flies, he does this, he does that, and the other. Come on.
Do they not see what they're doing? I mean, it doesn't help that I just finished reading The Rise and Fall of WCW.
Soon to be followed by The Rise and Fall of TNA, which is like WCW 3.0.
Seriously, it's all the same stuff. I'm like, my God, I just watched this last week.
Well, again, remember how many of these cogs were in place 10, 15 years ago in Atlanta? Exactly. So
right.
The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over again and not improving upon it and not learning anything from your mistakes. And this is what it is.
And expecting a different result.
Thank you. I didn't get the... You got the idea.
Yeah. So, no, it's just, you know, it just boggles my mind. It really does.
There's plenty of good talent down there. I'd love to...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd love to see. I mean, there are some compelling matches on the Genesis card. The X Division title match looks like it could be a fun one. You got Cash, you got Ian, you got Sorensen, you got Aries. That could be a fun match, but it's overshadowed by the fact that the Enigma himself may very easily become World Heavyweight Champ again in 90 seconds or less.
I'm not going to spend any money on it. In fact, I'm not even going to procure it.
Mm-hmm.
And... they just, you know, like I said, between the fact that they just throw Jeff Hardy right back into the main event and the fact that they've got Garrett, who's pretty much the second coming of David freaking Flair.
Oh.
I mean, somebody else uses Gulas, but this is David Flair. Seriously.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm sorry, that's going to get me interested how... I would love to go watch Team of Zion. I've met him, I've worked with him, he's a wonderful guy. But nothing over there is even compelling me to turn the television on Thursday nights. And I don't think somebody said they just started turning their TV off on Thursday nights.
That would be VRM, I believe.
Yes, because now that there's no football, CSI is on Wednesday. It's like... it's the only thing there is, sadly.
I can find other stuff to do. If I wasn't getting out of work so late, I'd be going to the gym.
And the line has been crossed again. Yes.
So... I'd like to go out on a slightly better note. So, Jim, do you have anything to plug?
Aside from the fact that we're not likely going to see the Beth Phoenix versus Chelsea Handler Divas Pretty Princess Championship belt anytime soon, listen in to the BS Big Show Wednesday or Thursdays on the CLW 83 Network. That's all I got.
Okay, Fourth, you got anything?
Just Typho Show on Tuesday nights.
And VRM, you got anything?
Yeah, we got WrestleCraft Sports Digest. Yes, we still call it that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on Thursday nights this week, this past week, we went over week 17. Next week, of course, we got the wild card playoffs. Probably have to get into some more basketball and hockey. And
go Sixers.
Well, yeah, of course you're going to say go Sixers, go Flyers, since some dirty birds got kicked out 2 weeks ago.
I heard that story.
Mm-hmm. Sure, not going there.
So, all right, gentlemen, we're actually going to end on time tonight.
Baby.
I don't know how we did that. I heard that. So, for Jim Williams, for VRM, and for Fourth, it's another night at the North American Wrestling Connection.
Baby.
So there. Good night, all.
Good night. Good night.
For more information about this podcast and all of our other podcasts, please visit our website at clwa3.com. Any questions or comments? Please send an email to clwa3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in.